Contreras deals. In the air, left field. Happ is there. Makes the catch. Throw to the plate. Tag. Out at the plate. Oh, boy. How about that? A double play to end it.
And they're going to challenge for sure, but this is reminiscent of Ian Happ in Milwaukee last year when he did it not once but twice. And they're going to challenge the tag play, and they're going to challenge whether Amaya blocked the play. He's actually behind his back foot. He gives him that corner. Oh, he's safe.
Yeah,
the problem.
Got his hand in.
He got his hand in. He didn't block the play. He was okay that way, but it looked like he got the hand in.
See, well,
yeah,
see his
hand pops
up
a little bit, right? It's really hard to tell.
I don't know about you, JD, but the longer this goes, the more I think he's going to be out. You don't see reviews last this long very frequently.
After review, two calls on the field. Blocking is confirmed. There is no blocking. After review, the call of out on the field stands. Runners out.
Ball game.
Ball game. Cubs win. Wow. How is that?
Figuring, having a conversation about what you guys think about it.
Well, you know, common sense rule, right? It's more common sense than it was the year before. If the catcher sets up and there's a little spot to the plate to go to, then yes, let him do what he does. I think the next step, though, is baseball could really consider and look into. Remember, this started from Buster Posey blocking the plate or on the plate, and Scott Cousins, I thought, in my opinion, targeted him and knocked him down, a real serious injury. It was a tough one even to watch, and the rule came out about blocking the plate. I think they just really need to look at it. It's become not vague, but I think in the next step in common sense is just to say to eliminate it. If you see a player target a catcher, he's out for 20, 25 games. That'll stop anyone from doing it in the future. It's a play that only happens 3 or 4 times a year. So let's go back to how it was. I'm not that kind of guy that likes to live in the past, but I think with this rule, we should.
Well, my feeling is two things happened that this play never would have happened. Terrific relay throws from the defense, the outfield, and Madrigal, the third baseman, to create the close play at home. Second, the head-first slide. Number one, if the catcher comes down with his shins, you go in head first with your hand, you have a chance to break your fingers, break a forearm, break a wrist, shin come down your shoulder, dislocate a shoulder. And two, if you're sliding feet first and you come in with that stiff front foot, that foot hit makes impact with the shin guard, you can push the catcher off of the plate. Or you can knock him down. If you go in head first, you're not going to push that catcher anywhere off the plate.
Certainly, Alonso put himself in jeopardy of being injured. He was not. But the bottom line is the replay official got the call right, according to the most recent guidance.
All right, we're back. I guess final thoughts. You heard the replay again from the Cubs' perspective of the play at the plate, and then Gary, Keith, and Ron discussed it. I thought Gary, Keith, and Ron were on the money on a lot of ways. You know, here's my issue with this whole play at the plate, and I'll rewind back to, and I actually watched the replay of Scott Cousins and Buster Posey back, I guess, what was that, 2012, 2011? I think it was 2011. It was the year after they won the World Series. Definitely Scott was hunting Posey and trying to knock him out. I don't think he meant to hurt him and thought he would hurt him. And there's definitely a component of what that play was. And just go back and watch it. That's not baseball. That's not what baseball's meant to be. And I was talking to somebody over the weekend when I was down in Tampa about the Pete Rose, Ray Fosse play. And I wasn't alive for that. But he was. And he says, look, that was looked at as a great play, you know, a collision at the plate. And I remember Piazza getting clobbered. And even after the Fosse-Pete Rose play when that happened, I mean, think about all the catchers that survived the old rules where you could, you know, I think there's an 86 clip, 85, 86, where Gary Carter gets clobbered by a Pirate. I don't know if it was Johnny Ray or Barry Bonds or R.J. Reynolds. I can't remember. But Carter basically gets clobbered at the plate and he, you know, holds on to the ball. You know, Carlton Fisk, Gary Carter. I'm trying to think who else would, you know, be an elite catcher during that time. Johnny Bench. they survived under the old rules. The only reason we're here with both the second base and the sliding rules and the home plate collision is because an all-star catcher and a Hall of Fame, potential Hall of Famer, Buster Posey, got clobbered and hurt and was out for the year, and there was an outcry on social media and the media. And in a big spot in a playoff game, we saw national television saw Ruben Tejada get, you know, run over. If Ruben Tejada and Daniel Murphy happens in the middle of July when nobody's watching at, you know, 11:30 at night, I don't think anybody does anything about it. And at the time, Joe Torre, who was running baseball, was always reactionary to these things because he was going to be St. Joe. You know, another story I don't want to get into with Joe Torre, you know, who he is and how he should have never been somebody making decisions about the direction of the league or working on that. I know it wasn't just him. But if Buster Posey is Brett Main or Tomas Nito or Michael Perez or Patrick Mazika, I don't think anything ever changes on the blocking of the plate. And quite honestly, the fact that all these years, it was such a nuanced rule that if you had your little foot on the plate, even though there was no play, like the Jonah Heim situation last year, that it was actually a violation, tells you how dumb the rule was to begin with. Baseball has made a lot of intrusions into the sport. Ghost Runner, didn't like it. I was wrong. Three batter rule, you know what? It doesn't totally bother me, but to me, it's something that organically would have worked itself out. I bet you take it away now, and maybe you get loogies back, but I think the era of loogies done and gone with. I think it's the way of the dinosaur. I think teams don't have enough pitching to have a loogie. To be honest with you, you probably don't need it anymore. The throwing over, that has everything to do with time of game than anything. That game today would have maybe still been going on if there was actually no throw over for two times because the Mets would have been thrown over to keep the runners close. But look, those rules are in there. I'm not going to complain. It is what it is. What I don't like is the intrusion on the slide and the intrusion at home plate because basically you're trying to take any judgment away from the umpire or any kind of common sense rules. Look, you know what you want to do? You solve the home plate rule right away. If the base runner, it makes no attempt to actually, and if you look at the Cousins play, it's clear. He just goes right into Posey. Posey wasn't in front of the plate. Cousins went right into him. To me, it's almost like a flagrant foul in the NBA. Darling said it, suspend him whatever how many games. It'll stop. Also, let me explain something to you. You know, Cousins maybe was fighting for his baseball career. How many offensive players want to put their careers in jeopardy? You heard Keith. Pete looked like he was looking for the... You know what Pete looked like? Pete looked like he was looking for the remote control like me when it falls underneath my covers and he was touching around looking for it by the way he put his hand in the plate. What, was he looking for his car keys? Was he looking for the keyhole when he was getting home at night and it's dark? I mean, yeah, he could have got hurt, but it wasn't like he was, you know, going in. And I agree with Keith, head first into home plate's ridiculous. Now, look, if the catcher runs into the lane, he's putting himself in jeopardy. And I think there should be a rule, excessive force. Now, I know what you're going to say, Mike. You're the same guy who watches the Knicks on TV and complains about the referees and all the friggin' fouls and all that. But at some point, it's as ambiguous with the rules as it is without. So it's not necessarily a good rule. Are you keeping the catcher safe? I mean, Pete could have slid in feet first and still hurt that guy. Could have knocked into his knee. Would have been legal. I think you're taking one play and an outlier, and you're saying to yourself, now what? You know, look at Michael Tucker and Mike Piazza in Atlanta. That controversial play when he was safe and Angel Hernandez when he was out and Angel Hernandez called him safe. You know, I think Piazza and I spoke when he was on the program, and he said, you know, he got cut in his thigh. You know, look, Michael Tucker could take Piazza's knee out. All star, done. Mets season's over at that point. That's what happens when you have your best players, you catch. You're always one foul ball away from disaster. It's a high-risk situation. I just feel like, and you saw it earlier in the year with McNeil and Rhys Hockins, like you've taken away, with the Hoskins-McNeil situation, you've taken away all the nuance and all the contact from the sport. And I say to myself, well, it's about health and safety, right? I watch an NBA game, I see guys get clobbered. Julius Randle's out for the year because of separated shoulder. even the NFL with their new rules, which is legitimately, when you're a receiver and you've got a 350-pound guy who's fast and strong running at you full force, whose job is to tackle and clobber you, I could understand, like, you know, this health and safety thing. That's what a runner does. He deserves to be suspended. Give the umpires some ability to make judgments. Because you know where we're going? With automatic strike zone maybe on the horizon? These guys are basically daycare workers. You know what they are? Know what they want them to be, the league? They want them to be like the nanny at recess who just makes sure the kids don't get into a fight. Up, let's go up to the replay center. Up, the replay center says a strike. Up, TrackMan says this. They're just basically, they're directing traffic. They're a cop. They have no decision-making ability. When the light's red, you know the cop when the light's green just says, go, 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 because he's motivated. Like, at that point, they're just making sure nothing gets haywire. The light's green, I know I could go. You're just telling me to do what I got to do. That's what they are. They're the nanny at the daycare in the schoolyard. Let's just make sure the kids don't get hurt. Let's make sure they stay in their little areas they're supposed to stay. It's all, you know, because the rules were given to them. Once you take away balls and strikes, I think it makes them lazy. I mean, it makes the job easier. So, you know, I think Darling even pretty much said it. Get rid of it. You have to tweak the rule after all these years because it was a dopey rule to begin with because it was reactionary. The thing about second base, now, actually, I think second base is more dangerous than the plate. But if you're on the base and someone comes sliding in, I'm sorry, you know, unless there's excessive, like they take a spike and they really come at you, unless it's excessive, and you will see excessive. Utley, what Utley did, what Cousins did to Posey, that's excessive. People, most players don't do that. I mean, for those of you who are younger, find double plays, Google double plays on YouTube, watch. I could see it now. There was one play, I think it was Pittsburgh, where a runner was barreling down on Wally Backman. He got the ball, turned the double play. I mean, it was a thing of beauty. Look at, I got a you know, you guys know I have this memorabilia in my studio here at my house. I got a Ray Ordonez, you know, jumping up over the sliding runner. So athletically, it's you think of beauty. It's a slow-mo shot. Like, you've taken all that away from the game, and it's not even solving. You had the Hoskins-McNeil issue, and now you have this nonsense. So it's not even solving anything. Stay out of legislating those kind of behaviors. You know, you want to make it like a goalie in the crease with hockey where, you know, it looks like that's what they were going at, where if you had a skate in, it was like, okay, you can't, it doesn't count. You know, maybe there's some kind of, you know, maybe you could tweak it and do some kind of like how the NBA does with the charging zone. Maybe do something like that. I mean, I'd rather them do that than have this nonsense. To me, you make it easy. You could block the plate, but if there's excessive force or you're not actually going for the plate, you're a runner and you're not actually going for the plate, you're going for the catcher, it's like a flagrant foul, you're out. Flagrant two foul, you're out, and you're suspended. Not one game, you're suspended because, you know, do 10 games or whatever. You can suspend guys for sticky stuff. You suspend guys for, you know, PEDs. You think the union's going to be against that when you're saying, I'm doing this so that your guys don't get hurt? And the other question I have, even at second base with runners sliding in, you think that guy who's sliding in wants to end his career? Because, by the way, I go into a catcher with equipment, more than likely, I'm going to be the one that's going to get hurt. Posey got clobbered, and his, you saw the thing, his ankle, you know, his foot broke because it came under him. I mean, this is not that complicated. And when you get a guy like Joe Torre, who's, you know, was a good player, was the right manager at the right time with the Yankees, and you put him in this old school player in this kind of decision-making process, you know, because he's a guy that could bring people together. That's why Torre was not that because he was a guy that was a visionary. He could bring people together. He's a politician. Joe Torre was a politician. He was a politician that was able to manage the Yankees because he was able to manage the Bronx politics at a time when the Bronx politics, nobody could manage. That's it. You know, he got involved in all this stuff when he worked for the league. And it's like, it's all reactionary. You know, the problem I have with the world today is that we have one incident, they have the mob mindset, and away you go. And we try to organically address what we see as injustices because of an outcome that we didn't like. So we got to change everything. It's not the way you have to be. Look, I understand the pace of play was a problem. And you know what? inevitably because of all the data, and I saw it this week in being around the Rays, there is so much data and information. So maybe that's inevitably going to be part of the game itself. But guess what? Look at Christian Scott yesterday. You work fast and you throw strikes, the game goes quick. Yeah, it'll slow down when Ottavino's on the mound. Late game, you know, maybe that eighth inning when Ottavino was on and there was no pitch clock, it would be, you know, the mound visits, I have no problem limiting that. It got stupid. I mean, they were going out to the mound every pitch. There'd be Yankee Red Sox games, Posada would be going out to the, I mean, come on. Like, I'm not saying it's all bad, but I feel like we've just, like, we've intruded on the game. Look, the three-batter rule, the throw-overs, the pickoffs, the pitch clock, it's here to stay. Unless they can prove that the pitch clock's causing injuries, which it's not, stop throwing max effort on every pitch, whether there's a pitch clock or not, and you won't tear that rubber band that's in your elbow that's not meant to do what you do. That's it. So, to me, a lot of bad things on that play. First, stupid that we even had to get to the point where a game had to be decided. It used to be decided. That would have been a dramatic ending. Then we got to stand around and wait. You know, oh, he's out. Okay, that's replay. Fine. But then it's like a complicated thing, you know, and his foot. And the fact that Mendoza, who had, and I saw the clip about the information they give in spring, didn't really understand the rule. That's on the league. They're not explaining it because they don't know. The umpires really don't know. I had no problem with the catcher in that play. I really didn't. I had a problem with Pete searching for his keys or his remote control at night, like I do, how he slid in. I think Keith's right. He slides feet first. All of a sudden, that guy's looking, maybe he backs off a little bit. But he sees him coming out head first, like, ah, this guy's not going to hit me. It's been a bad week for Pete. Bad stretch for Pete. Bad stretch. So, anyway, that's all I got. The good, the bad, the annoying. Go back, stop at the rule at second base, stop at the rule behind the plate, create a flagrant foul system in baseball where excessive force, that's the runners are not heading for the base, they're heading for the fielder. You're out, just like interference, and you're suspended, just like a flagrant foul. Look, the NBA could do it. You can too. Anyway, that's all I got for you. Hope you enjoyed this edition of the Talking Mets podcast. I got to get some rest. Nick game tomorrow. Had a late night on Thursday. Traveled to Tampa. Two frustrating losses. Then I had to sit and watch this third frustrating loss. Now, Mets fans, I know if you're not Knicks fans, would I have traded a sweep for a Knick win this weekend? I would have. I would have. Because I know that the baseball season's long. And for those who are Knicks fans in the audience, you could appreciate it. I think if you told me Mets win three games and the Knicks lose the series, the Sixers, I would take the Knicks winning the series and the Mets losing to the Rays. I'm sorry. All truth be told, I'm a Knicks fan. I love it. As though some of you are Rangers fans in the audience and football fans, there are times when, you know what? Now, if this was a big September series and the season, maybe the conversation's different. So we'll see. All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of the Talking Mets podcast. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on X at Talking Mets No G and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. No G, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. Don't forget the newsletter, substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG, and on Instagram, @TalkingMetsNoG. And of course, I want to thank the good folks from the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy your Cinco de Mayo, whatever's left of it. We'll be back with another Talking Mets podcast next week. Till then, take care, everybody.